continental. And anything I got is not a rental. I own that mom.
Interestingly, yesterday around 9 o'clock at night, I'm getting text messages about Jimbo Fisher. People are sending me, like, I guess somebody from one of the sites out there was talking about his body language, his speaking. And all of a sudden, everybody is this forensic scientist or body language researcher from a 15-second clip that was seen online. And all of a sudden, everybody knows everything about Texas A&M, even though the person who did the tweet probably doesn't know Jimbo, hasn't been to a press conference in the 2 years I've been here. Yet they can, in a 15-second clip, can determine everything that is wrong with Texas A&M athletics and what's wrong with the football program. Just in that 15-second clip. I will say that I thought Jimbo came across a little testy yesterday. Maybe because he's just focused on the job. Maybe he's upset about last season. I don't know. Maybe it was just that day. Doesn't matter. You can't read into a 15-second soundbite or a press conference. So we begin Texags Radio here presented by David Gardner's Jewelers in the Rollo Insurance Studio. And it is the Go Hour presented by the Warehouse at CC Creations. Maroon never looked so good with Maroon U. Olin Buchanan with me. Good morning, OB.
Good morning. Is today the first day of spring or was it yesterday? I thought it was the 21st.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I just expect it to be spring in March.
Yeah, I kind of unofficially think of March 1st as the beginning of spring.
Like here we are.
I thought Jimbo came off as a little bit testy as well. I don't know why. I'm not going to guess as to why. I suspect it might have something to do with questions about Bobby Petrino.
Yep.
But I would think he would have anticipated that. But I don't know. I'm not going to read anything into it.
Yeah, like I'm looking at the message that was sent to me. Body language and tone is louder than the words here. Okay, like 15 seconds. Guys asked about a certain topic 5-6 times. Like, you get a little annoyed and your butt. Whatever. That does not tell you anything.
It doesn't, but it what?
But it allows
the very first question asked was by me asking about Bobby Petrino, what his role would be, and Fisher wouldn't even let me get the question out.
Yeah.
So, and I kept trying to ask it anyway over him. So that makes me wonder if it's already a sore subject.
And it might be. You know what I care about? Can you score some points?
Yeah.
And get some plays in on time.
And Anaya Smith made me think that
things were good.
That there's going to be a difference. That it's going to be faster and more wide open, and he said hopefully more touchdowns.
And at the end of the day, who cares what is said? Like, literally.
Well, that's true.
You said it right there.
Who cares what's said?
A year ago, we were thinking this would be a faster offense. Things were alluded to it being a faster offense. More high octane. It wasn't. In fact, it was worse. Okay. So whatever people say, they say. What people do on the field is what is going to matter to me, and that's why it doesn't matter until September. We're going to go to these practices. We're going to analyze. We're going to see people stretching and be like, oh, I think he can throw deep. But at the end of the day, let's see what happens in September. Let's see what happens in October. Let's see what happens in November. To talk about it right now is part of our job, is what radio hosts do. We'll do it. But I almost feel like I have to defend Jimbo because the ones with opinions don't know.
Well,
if you say something, I'm like, oh, well, you're there every day. Yeah, I get it. Billy says something, Zorneman, Travis, like, that's different than a dude in a home office in Puerto Rico telling me what is happening with A&M's football program. That's where I was like, come on, bro, you don't know.
Well, that's true. But I think what you said, you know, I think A&M as a whole, and I'm talking fans and everything, the best thing you can do, I'm talking from Jimbo Fisher on to down to fans, is to just no more talk, just go to work.
Just do.
Because you said it. You know, there was a lot of talk last year. Things were going to be different, and yeah, they were different, not in a good way. It doesn't matter what's said. We'd like to get updates on where the program is and who's looking good here and there. But even then, we've learned from last year that just because we're getting a report that somebody is looking good doesn't mean they're going to play well.
Nope.
There's been too much disappointment around here. And injuries is part of that.
Sure.
Scheme was part of that. Just guys that were not. I'm a firm believer, and always have been, that bad guys that aren't part of the culture can become a cancer and just throw everything out of whack. Mm-hmm. I think there was an issue with that last year. But as of now, all that's excuses. If you come back in 2023 and have a real strong year and win 10 games or more, those excuses become explanations.
Sure. Yeah, I 100% agree. Let's hear from Jimbo yesterday. There was a little question and answer, and this is where I think people are taking a little four-second chunk of a soundbite and using that as what is going viral out there. But I want you to hear the totality of the answer and kind of see it all happen. So here's a Q&A with Jimbo yesterday.
Hiring Petrino is going to help your execution. Am I correct when you're saying it gets down to execution? Whatever you see that he does comparable
it's
to you?
It's going to allow us some things. I think he's a very good coach, and I think he'll help us offensively. Yes.
Execution. But mm-hmm. So what
about it's what coaching is. I mean, at the end of the day, it gets back to being able to execute what you do and be able to be consistent in what you have to do.
Yeah, just trying to see that you guys mm-hmm. a little more comparable. So you feel the execution will be there better?
Well, hopefully. That's what we're here to decide. Based off our fundamentals and our work habits and what we do on a daily basis, that's what we'll get back to.
And what about who makes the play calls? Would that be him or you?
Yeah, I mean, we'll go through that as we go.
Go back to the back?
Plan on
right.
him making calls. Plan on him calling plays. I have no problem with that at all.
I don't want to compare him to Nick Saban. But there were times where Bill O'Brien was calling plays and Nick would be like, nah. You did it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm the coach. We're going to do it my way.
Well, the head coach always has the veto power, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the coaches don't use it enough. I can remember a certain game at the Rose Bowl. But what I would find a little bit disconcerting there is when he was asked about the play calling, why didn't he just say, why didn't he alleviate the part that's, well, we'll find that out as we go. But, yeah, he's going to call play. That just kind of seemed like I didn't know how to take that.
Well,
and the execution thing, I get it, man. It's time to execute. You've got to execute because for two seasons, we talked about how bad last year was. But for two seasons, this program has not consistently executed.
So this is where I'm okay with that answer. Because it's not like Jimbo forgot how to be an offensive genius. For years, he was talked about as being this great play caller. The last couple of years have not been good. They haven't. Okay. So if you have a different voice in the room to help mold your decisions, then maybe you make different decisions. And that's why, like, as of today, it's just talk. Let's just see what happens.
Well, whereas I absolutely believe that the head coach does and should have veto power and can get on his headset and say, hey, look, we need to run here, or hey, let's go for it. You know, let's push. You know, that's kind of if you bring in an offensive coordinator, especially one with the background of Bob Petrino, and he thinks he's calling plays and it's not, then I just think that opens up the questions of, hey, are these two going to be able to coexist that everybody had from the moment the hire was made? I mean, there's got to be, I would think, clearly defined roles. Hey, you're going to call the plays. Now, sometimes I may say, hey, look, I want to run the ball here. Fine. What running play are you going to call? I think let's push it. Okay, I got some passing plays call. But when you're like, well, you know, it's going to, as we go and all this, well, wait a minute. You're going to figure that out as you go, or is he going to be calling plays? Because you just said two different things in one soundbite.
Maybe he didn't answer it the way we wanted or whatever. But like at the end of the day, If Jimbo wants a certain thing called, I don't care who the offense coordinator is. He's the boss. You do it. Like, I'm in charge of this show.
Okay.
Right? Billy tells me to do something different. I do it different. Okay. That's just how it works. Like, I have 90% control. I'd say 98% control of the show. There are times where we have a talk like, hey, man, why don't we try this? Guess what I do? I try it. And that's kind of how I look at the offense. And he hired me with less resume than Bobby Petrino, but with enough that he knows that I can control the show. But every once in a while, the boss is going to be like, let's do this. And that's, at least today, that's what I hope that is. Well, and again, we won't know till September.
Once again, if it's a situation where, as head coach, I'm in there and I'm saying, yeah, hey, let's run it here. Let's push it here. No, I really want to run it here. That's one thing. If the coach is, if one coach is sending down a play and the head coach is consistently changing it, you're going to have a problem.
Yep. But we're not there right now. Right? As of today, I don't see that as an issue. Will they cross that bridge at some point and everybody like, see, I told you they couldn't work together. What happens if they're great and they score 35 points a game?
Hopefully they will, but I will say this. Based on that answer, that one answer, I find that a little bit confusing.
Well, we're going to have more opportunities to talk to him, and I'm sure he's going to get more frustrated with questions because it's going to come up. Hey, can you clarify? That's coming. So let's do this. Let's go around the room and say hello. We go behind the glass and say hi to Nick. I always called him Nick Saban. Because I've been thinking about Nick Saban. Nick Savage.
Well,
Nick
Savage. They kind of have the same personality.
Very similar.
Really? I disagree with that big time. It's a little dark in here. Sorry. They got a light out above us.
I see a lot
of
blue light. Yeah.
That's our computers. So, but anyways, I'm excited to see how spring camp kind of unfolds. I know we really shouldn't be reading too much into like the rotations and whatnot in spring just because it's typically just, you know, however they see it, but
yeah, especially with a half a dozen guys out.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm interested to see how much Jake Johnson can kind of break into the tight end fold if he can make an impact at all. We know we didn't see him much last year because he was injured for most of that first part of the season. But I'm interested to see if, you know, maybe him and Donovan Green might get equal split there. Maybe there's a position battle with that. But I don't know. That's one thing I'm looking for in spring ball at least.
Well, and OB, tell me what you think. The way I look at it is they're going to like release things and work on one thing at a time is kind of the feel I got. They're not going to give a whole playbook per se to work on. It's like we're going to work on this method and work on this, and it's going to be a slow approach towards the spring game.
I don't know because it depends on how much the offense is actually going to change. Because if the offense is going to have some significant changes and maybe – you know, Bobby's style is more like, hey, it's not an overhaul. It's just adding some elements. Then no big deal. But if you're having to make significant changes, you got 15 practices. Mm-hmm. And then a month of August. Are you going to get that offense in there? I do think that you will see more double tight ends at times. And I do think that Jake Johnson is too talented that, you know, you're not going to see him catching the ball some this year.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Let's hit a break here. When we come back, the big shot of the week. You got any thoughts?
Yeah, I actually do.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, we're going to start you off with the big shot of the week when we come back. Right now, talking up. I knew it. We have to start off with some barbecue. It's when OB and I do the Rain Man bit where I just ask him a bunch of questions. They're one of the top
50.
Barbecue joints
in Texas, which means that's one of the top 50 in the world.
Yeah, and that's according to the Texas Monthly. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with it.
Good people over there. And they have specials?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, today is Tuesday. I was going to say Wednesday, so that means the week just started at Fargo's.
Today is rib tips, baby.
Yeah, look at the way your voice. And once they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. They're in your belly.
No, that's where you want them.
Who's the one who said, in my belly?
That's Fat Bastard.
Fat Bastard. There we go. Are we allowed to say that?
Well, we just did. Hey, K.A.O.L.M. Buchanan.
And then tomorrow, the chopped beef?
On a potato.
That's right. And they also have?
Is tomorrow? Beef ribs. See, yeah, I get the beef ribs and the pork chop mixed up because pork chop's on Thursday.
They've been a part of this community for about 22 years. Football weekends, office parties, weddings, anniversaries, funerals and dinners, any kind of gathering or celebration out there. Good food done the right way. 1701 South Texas Avenue in Bryan. That is Fargo's. Without a doubt, the best barbecue in town. That's their trademark because it's true. Go check out Fargo's. It's good knowing that our love may soon be gone. You know, I think we can work this out. We can certainly work out this offense.
Well, let's hope so.
Tex Ags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. Go Hour Time, presented by The Warehouse at CC Creations. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can call us or text us. The phone number is 979-693-1150. That is the A&B text line, A&B, a call station branch of the Amarillo National Bank. Good Texas banking. The website is A&B.com. All right, let's get into the big shot of the week, OB. And you said you've got one to start off with.
Yeah, Stanley Tucker.
Stanley Tucker, 2 for 2, but he was huge,
with the glove.
The go-ahead run.
If he doesn't make that catch,
they're not in position.
They're not in position to win. So he did it on both sides.
Yeah.
So I was very impressed with Stanley Tucker and the big game he had. Was he the guy that got his hand pushed off the bag?
I believe that is correct. Yes. Yeah.
So to overcome, if you're watching on TV, there's a video of him making that big catch.
Yeah, he was big this weekend. They needed him. And, you know, this team, Bronny mentioned it yesterday, and I'm going to steal it from him. The valuable experience a lot of these guys are getting right now that aren't your typical everyday guys that are in there and getting opportunities is going to pay dividend at the end of the season. There's guys getting a lot of reps and a lot of at-bats and a lot of looks that probably wouldn't if this team was 100% healthy. They're getting these looks now for when the whole team is back. You're going to have a lot of options.
Well, I assume, you know, Bronny has followed it closer than I have, so I assume he knows what he's talking about. But I'll say this. Stanley Tucker needs to play.
Yeah.
And he's played from now on.
Yeah.
You can make catches like that.
I have Justin Lampkin on the list. I think he was great. Absolutely great. Look at that stat line there. Four and a third innings. Four hits, one run, one walk, five strikeouts. He was huge for the Ags. They needed him to be big, and he certainly was.
Came in relief, right?
Yep.
And at a time when it wasn't looking so good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was big.
And I'm going to assume, and I'm going to let Nick jump in here, and he probably doesn't have his numbers in front of us, but I'm going to assume Will Johnson's on your list.
Will Johnson came in and nailed it down, right?
He sure did. Nick,
Yesterday, I think he's on an 11 inning scoreless streak, something like that. Struck out 18 over that, and I think he's only allowed one hit. And I mean, Sunday in LSU, going and three
that's
innings.
That may be the best hitting team in the country.
Yep. Yeah,
and he gave up one hit in three innings.
Yep.
Closing
and three strikeouts in that one inning as well. Let's see. I'm looking through this, and since the Seattle U game, since the Portland game, three strikeouts, five strikeouts, two strikeouts, four strikeouts, a strikeout, and three strikeouts. He's been nails. Absolutely been nails out there.
Sounds like me and my dating life back when I was in my 20s.
You were nails?
All these strikeouts.
Did you by any chance see the story of Antoine Davis?
I did not.
Do you know who Antoine Davis is? Not Antonio Davis from back in the day.
No, didn't Kentucky have a player named Antoine Davis?
They might have. This is a different one. This is a Detroit Mercy basketball player who's trying to break the scoring record from Pistol Pete Maravich.
I think I did see something about this.
Yeah, so basically their team went like 14-17, and they're trying to schedule games in the postseason to get him to pass that record. And so they were hoping to get invited to the CBI. The CBI, to me, at least in years past, is not obviously one of the nice tournaments, but they're still not going for teams under 500. Maybe they are. I don't believe them to be that way. Do you remember covering the CBI ever?
I think A&M might have been involved with it, in the last 10 years. I always thought the CBI was kind of like, I don't know, taking a hooker to your prom date, you know, as your prom date. You know, when you're having to pay, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, they're trying to get, they didn't get invited to the CBI.
They did?
They did not. So he feels cheated out of breaking the record. And they interviewed Pistol Pete's son. And he says, well, here's this situation is very personal and sensitive to me. But to be clear, I'm not mad at Antoine Davis. I have nothing bad to say about Antoine. My beef is with these tournaments. Basically saying these tournaments are trying to that's not the goal of them, but some of these dumb tournaments that don't matter are allowing for records to be broken. He goes on to say, I think it's a terrible look. Jason Maravich told the Associated Press, your season should be over if you're 14 and 19. You shouldn't be able to keep
scoring. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, what's the point of playing that tournament? Well, first of all, I don't get why anybody would want to be in it. I think if you in it, the CBI, you just acknowledge that you're second rate.
So Maravich.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did North Carolina just refuse to play in the NIT?
I haven't looked at that.
I think that might be the case. And if that is the case, I applaud that.
Good for them. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sorry the guy didn't
Tino was in the finals last year.
Yeah. I'm sorry the guy didn't get a chance to break the record, but to say you feel cheated, that's, you know, some entitlement that you have entitlement issues.
So here's some numbers for you. Pistol Pete did it in three seasons over 83 games.
With okay? no three-point line.
3,667 points.
With no three-point line.
Okay. Davis, on the other hand, has played in 5 years, played in 144 games. He also missed 4 three-pointers off a wide-open look in the final 2 minutes of his last game.
Is that what he needed, 3 points to?
Yeah.
Or 2 points to? Well, you played 5 years and didn't break it. Just acknowledge that you came up short and don't complain that, oh, I'm getting left out. And by the way, if you ever watched any of Pete Maravich, the fact that there was no three-point line is significant, because I'm not saying you add whatever he scored and a third of that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the guy had insane range.
So I have a friend.
He was like, what's that guy from Penn State's name?
Oh, Funk.
Funk. He was like Funk all Marty the time. Funkhauser. He was like Funk threes. All the time.
Yeah. I have a friend, and in fact, you probably know this guy. I know Billy does, who reached out to me recently asking me if I wanted to interview Antoine Davis. And I'm like I don't see the connection with Texags. He's like, well, he's trying to break the record. You know, he's playing in Detroit. I'm like, all right, we'll talk after the tournament, you know, if it's a deal. But he asked me if I wanted to talk to him. I was just like, I don't see the connection right. of, like.
If I was in Baton Rouge, I might be all over that.
Yeah. But at the time, I was like, I have a hard time telling my audience, I'm putting this player who's playing, because it was during the season, for Detroit, Mercy, and to talk about his pursuit of a record, like,
You know, years ago, I'm talking probably in the 80s, Connecticut had a women's player that was close to setting some kind of record.
Yep.
And got hurt. Got hurt bad and couldn't play anymore. So in one game, they set it up where basically they put her at the under the basket at the jump. And the opponent allowed them to win the jump and pass it to her. And she had a wide open, you know, uncontested, just put it in. And they celebrated, took a timeout, took her out, and then Connecticut let the other team have a layup. Uh-huh. And it was a great show of sportsmanship, and I think it's bogus.
I did too, 100%.
You know, so records should be organic. They should be made in the heat of competition. I don't think you should manipulate the game to allow someone to set a record, nor do I think you should manipulate schedules and say, hey, this team is terrible. They don't belong in postseason. But since he has a chance to set a record,
let's put him in.
No, I don't believe
that. I don't believe in that either.
Way.
Do you think the Strahan sack record on Brett Favre?
I think it was bogus.
Yeah.
I think who did he break? Warren Sapp? Whoever's record. Yeah. No, or was it Strahan? No, Strahan's the one who did it. Whoever's record he broke should be. That was an insult. Brett Favre insulted them.
Yep.
To just lay down, you know, basically say, okay, he's not going to get the record, so I'm going to run over here and lay down so it'll look like a sack. No, it should be organic.
It should be. Was it the all-time sack record or was it a season? It must have been a season.
I can't recall.
Because Bruce Smith has got 200. Reggie White's got 198.
Well, then obviously it was a season.
Yeah, it must have been the season.
But still, you know, so again, I can't tell you who had the record. I thought it was Sapp, but I'm probably way off on that. And
Strahan did 22 and a half sacks in 2001.
Do you know who's second?
It says Al Baker leads the unofficial record at 23 in 1978.
You know what I don't get about that? They always call the unofficial. All you got to do, they have their tapes and everything. Go back and watch all those. Watch guys like Harvey Martin and guy, I'm having a hard time. I haven't seen your moments today. The guy from A&M who was so great at Seattle. Defensive tackle who is like the third most sacks ever.
Sam?
No.
Jacob Green.
Jacob Green. Go back and actually record their sacks and make them official. Why are you?
Yeah. By the way, TJ Watt tied the record 22 and a half in 2021.
So basically he has the record because I never heard anything about somebody laying down right. To allow him to.
Let's hit a break here because we got Shereen Williams up on the next side of the break. Right now, though, we're talking QC Kinetics. All right, so OB already told us, like, it's officially winter. All right, excuse me, spring. Right. It's spring. And he said he thinks it's like today or yesterday. So to me, it is springtime, which means the winter blues are behind us. And you got to get out of your house, get those achy joints back to normal, and go enjoy your life outdoors, indoors. Stop with the steroids. Stop with the possible surgery chatter. There's a different way to do it, and that's QC Kinetics, who can take care of you, making you feel much better with the nation's leader in regenerative medicine. It's an exciting approach that uses healing properties from your own body, and they put it into your achy joints, and it's going to help restore and repair that damaged tissue. And then guess what? You're playing sports again in the backyard, throwing the ball, lifting weights, whatever you want to be doing with your kids. Knee pain, back pain, shoulder pain, hip pain, the patient satisfaction reports are incredible. And really the best part of it all, no downtime. Not like surgery where you're out for like 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it may be. You're back and moving. So that old way of dealing with achy joints, there's no longer the way to do it. Right now, call them up. The call is free. The consultation is free. You have nothing to lose. It is QC Kinetics. The timing is perfect so you can enjoy the best time of year coming up right now. The phone number for QC Kinetics, 979-452-6000. QC Kinetics, 979-452-6000. That's 979-452-6000.
We are going.
Are you ready?
The Zone 1150 AM and 93.7 FM. When we get tired, we play harder.
Welcome on back. Tech Sags Radio, presented by David Gardner Shields in the Rollo Insurance Studio. Go Hour Time, presented by the Warehouse at CC Creations. Let's talk a little college and pro football and life with our friend Shereen Williams from Pro Football Talk, the Hall of Famer, and our good friend. Shereen, good morning.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Well, I think I've moved on from the NCAA tournament, but I'm still kind of hurting from it.
Yeah, you know, Texas women losing like they did last night did a lot for me. That was my favorite game of the tournament so far.
Aggies, God bless them. Always find something to feel good about. If you can't feel good about winning, about A&M losing, right. You can at least feel good about Texas losing.
Well, yeah, you know, misery loves company. I'll say that.
Oh, my.
All right, Shereen. So what did you take of this entire season? Let's just wrap it up. What did you make of it? Is the last game going to be what you think about? You're going to think about the journey to get there?
Well, it's the journey. It was so fun to watch them all year long. I mean, I couldn't wait for the games to be on, and I think the way football went for us, really, we needed that. And it was fun to turn it on and watch the games and see those guys play with the heart that they played with. And I really thought they were going to make a long run. And, you know, Clarence Hill is obviously from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, is a big Longhorn, and we had a little argument on Saturday night. So you're still arguing about your seating. I said, yes. But you didn't show up. Yes. Both can be true. We could still argue about the seating. The seating was wrong. The committee was wrong. Everything about that was wrong. I still believe if we had gotten our proper seating, we'd still be playing today. It is what it is. It didn't happen. And we didn't show up in the final game. There's no question about that. You need your best players to play their biggest in the biggest games. And unfortunately, the last two games were not – indicative of how good this team was. But a lot of people nationally, that's all they saw. They saw those last two games that we played. But this was a team that had so much heart and fight, and it was just, it was a lot of fun. It provided us a lot of joy this year, and I'm so grateful to them for all the wins they delivered.
Yeah, you know, when you look at the tournament, and especially my bracket with all the red ink all over it, you think the it wasn't just A&M. The committee really failed in their seedings for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question. I completely agree with you, Olin. Yeah, Penn State was playing great, one of the best teams in the country. In fact, I don't think Texas got seeded properly from the fact that they had to play either Penn State or A&M in the second round. Now, they won that. I get that. But it was a harder game probably than they should have had. I mean, they were a candidate to be a number one seed and didn't get that. So, you know, I just think the committee did not do a good job this year. You know, basketball's not what it used to be with the blue bloods, you know, are going to be there every single year. We've seen that with the blue bloods all losing. And it's a different game now and a different era of basketball. And I like this era much, much better. I like all these upsets we're seeing and the fun that we're seeing. But the committee did fail this year. There's no question about that.
Douglas Shereen Williams here on Texas Radio. Shereen, what do you make of Cam Newton throwing at Auburn's pro day?
Yeah, you know, I looked back at last night when I wrote the post, you know, of how long it's been since he's had a 3,000-yard. I mean, he had played in 2 years. Let's start there. You know, the 3,000-yard season, I think, was 2020. The last Pro Bowl was 2017. Playoff 2017, you know, MVP season, which is the last time he you know, was really great, was 2015. It's been a long time since this guy's been a good quarterback in the NFL. Now, does somebody want him for a backup? I don't think so, because, you know, if the starting quarterback plays poorly, there's going to be a lot of controversy. Oh, Cam should be playing. I just think Cam, as young as he is, I can't believe he's, you know, what, 33, I think, now. It just seems like he's a lot older. He is still young in quarterback years, but I just think his best years are behind him, and I think it's time to go try something else. But we'll see. I mean, he may put on a performance and get a chance from somebody.
Has he ever been the same since Von Miller assaulted him in the Super Bowl, though?
No, he really hadn't, Olin. And you know, the shoulder injuries came back to bite him, a couple of them on the you know, throwing shoulder, I think really affected him throwing that. He couldn't just throw the ball. He could not throw the ball down the field the last couple of years. I mean, that was obvious. There was no question about that. And, I just think that was part of it. But you're right. I mean, that was the last good season that he really had, and Von pretty much took care of him in the Super Bowl.
Talking to Shereen Williams here on Texas Radio. All right, who's having a better week, the Texans or the Cowboys? Because they're having a lot of business together, if you will.
Yeah, well, I think both of them have had really good weeks. And, you know, the Texans really have improved their weapons and backup running back. They're much better there. I think Dalton Schultz is certainly going to help in their passing. They've had a good offseason. Now, they still got work to do at the receiver position, especially getting rid of Brandon Cooks. But Cooks was a good addition for the Cowboys. And I knew they wanted somebody to take the lid off. They got that in Brandon Cooks. They wanted that number two guy. And I think he's perfect complement to the team. And you go back to the trade deadline last year, they tried to trade for him at the trade deadline. And they couldn't make the deal work out. And now the Cowboys have gotten a steal because the Texans are picking up $6 million of his salary. So he's only going to count $6 million against their salary cap. They renegotiated the contract again yesterday. Count $6 million against their salary cap. So this is a really good addition for the Cowboys. And I think it's also an admission that they screwed up in trading Amari Cooper to the Browns, which we all knew that. I could have told you that at the time. It was a bad, bad trade. And it turned out it certainly was a bad trade for the Cowboys.
Shereen, in my opinion, the move of Dalton Schultz helps both teams because he's better than, I guess, anybody that the Texans would have it there. But I'm so frustrated watching him over the years. I think he can't block. I think he fumbles the ball too much. I think he's kind of an airhead. And I like Jay Ferguson and that potential. Tell me why I'm wrong.
No, I think you're exactly right. I do think that helps both teams. teams. I think he's better than anything the Texans have on their team. He'll provide a good security blanket for the rookie quarterback, whether that's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, whichever one ends up there. He'll provide a good security blanket for that rookie quarterback to start his career off. So I think it's a really good move. Now, I don't, you know who it's not a good move for? It's not a good move for Dalton Schultz, because he expected to go get a huge deal on the free agent market, and it didn't develop. And he overvalued himself. He got almost $11 million, $10.9 million last year on the franchise tag for the Cowboys, who were not going to sign him to a long-term deal. I mean, they if it was a value, a hometown discount, they would have. But they were not going to sign him to the long-term deal that he wanted. He ended up not getting it. He's playing on the $9 million deal this year, so he's taking a pay cut to go to Houston. And now he's playing with the rookie quarterback on a prove-it deal. So I think it's a really bad deal for Dalton Schultz. I think it's a really good deal for the Texans. I think it's a really good deal for the Cowboys. Tender shot, Jake Ferguson. Yeah, all those guys are really good at tight end, and they could be as good or better than Dalton Schultz.
Like I said, he's an airhead.
You were explaining it to me. You were. Hey, Shireen, we appreciate you as always. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Shireen Williams there on the hotline, bringing it. All right, let's hit a break. We'll come back. Can we do a little Nick Saban talk?
Yeah, let's do.
Yeah, let's listen to Nick Saban talk. Let's do that.
I actually agree with him for once.
When did he appoint himself as, like, the speaker of college athletics?
Well, you know, I think when you're in a very powerful position, when you're the commissioner of the SEC.
Yeah, you have that kind of we'll talk about, you'll hear what he had to say, which I can agree with him, but I also think it's funny. Like, he loves to give lessons out there. Right now we're talking Heritage Films. That's Chance McClain's company. The website is yourheritagefilm.com. They make documentary films about you. They make documentary films about your parents. They make about just normal people, right? Like your neighbor that always smokes a cigarette while he's cutting the grass, right? Like that guy. That's what they do. They just do it about normal people every day. And it's something that is that can be saved for your family for generation after generation. So you don't have to play the game of telephone. You tell your kid what happened. They tell their kid what happened. And then, like, in 20 years, it's like, yeah, my dad was the president of the United States. No, he was the president of Comerica, whatever it may be, right? Like, no, get the actual story from the – you're going to say something, OB? Okay. Check out the website, yourheritagefilm.com, yourheritagefilm.com, 713-893-8341, 713-893-8341. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. All right, we're back. Texags Radio, presented by David Gardner's Jewelers here in the Rollo Insurance Studio. One thing I love about working at Texags is the passion. People... like that we get or interact with are just awesome, right? Like, there's the people we meet in real life. I'd say everybody that I've met in real life, like in person, has been very polite, and they may not agree with everything we say, but they're very polite. On text and on sometimes the message boards, people like to be a little bit, I don't know, the tone, and you can't read tone in a text, but I think that they like to try to one-up you, right?
Okay.
I'm going to read you a text. You tell me what you think, all right? All right. This is from a guy named John.
Hey, John.
You sound insecure as hell about Jimbo. Only the Texas staff knows what's really going on? That's convenient. Good Lord, man. LOL. There's more.
You didn't say that. In fact, I heard you mention Brent Zerneman, and I heard you mention Travis Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe you should have thrown Cease in there.
I should have, and Cease was great yesterday. And I responded like, uh-huh, I didn't catch.
You're basically saying, put more trust into the people that cover the team on a daily basis that live here, and not people, you know, who don't know, who aren't here.
1,000%. But then he doesn't double down. He takes a different lane.
Okay.
All winter long. Y'all said, it's good grammar. What is clear was that, I'm reading exactly how he wrote it, was that Petrino would have clear play calling control. Y'all specifically said it would likely wouldn't work otherwise because Petrino isn't that guy. Now, after the first press conference, you have moved the goalpost to, well, Petrino may inform Jimbo's play calling, and sometimes Jimbo needs to step in. After the first darn, he actually used a different word, press conference, and now there's apparently no concern with that when you absolutely would have had concern with it just a few short months ago, Pick a lane is all I'm saying. That just sounds like spin. Also, you're talking down to your audience.
Okay, I'm confused with everything.
I don't know what the hell this loser's talking about.
I don't recall ever saying that Petrino was a bad hire. It's controversial, but
I think he's saying, like, if Petrino would only take this job if he's playing, that's my opinion. Yeah, Petrino must feel he has. By the way, I don't talk to Petrino. I've never spoken to him.
Never have.
Okay. I'm assuming, just like everybody, that a guy who takes an offensive coordinator job at an SEC school is going to have, when I say complete control, as much control as you can have with a boss. And certain bosses that are defensive-minded will have much more say on the defensive coordinator, and an offensive-minded head coach is probably going to have more say with an offensive coordinator.
Well, I think I can only talk about what I've said. I thought I've been very clear in saying that I think the head coach does and should have veto power, and therefore there are some games that I wish the coach would have used that veto power more. I'm just talking about a previous coach. But if you bring in a guy like Bobby Petrino, who has a history of putting together explosive, productive offenses, and he's, you know, nearly 60 years old, if not already, but, you know, very experienced. I don't know that you bring that guy in and then tell him he can't, you know, call the offense. Now, I think I even said, if you're the head coach, you say, hey, look, I feel like running it here. I feel like, okay, let's push it here.
Mm-hmm.
But aren't you in the same place if you're not letting your offensive coordinator call the plays? What has changed?
Yeah, and again, I continue to go back to, we're going to see.
Yeah, we're going to see.
We're going to see. We may have a conversation in December like, dude, that Petrino hire was amazing. They won 10 games. They won 11 games. The offense was great. The defense struggled stopping the run a little bit, but that's the next plan. Whatever. Or we may be like, man, they threw everything on the wall, and it didn't work out.
But I do think that Jimbo's answer when asked by Cease who was going to call the plays was confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's what I think. I think it was confusing. I think he said, we're going to figure it out as we go. Oh, no, he's going to call the plays, and I'm good with that. Well, which is it?
Yeah.
I'm confused by that.
Anyhow, hey, you can have opinions, but, like, choose what, like, if you're going to disagree with something, choose that. Don't, like, make it about something else. Now it's about radio numbers. Like, you don't know, bro. You don't. But I appreciate you listening. You don't need to listen anymore, though. All right, that's going to do it for the Go Hour. OB, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get into the Saban talk.
Well, you will on the other side.
Yeah. It's Texas Radio. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.